Thank you for joining us at the Sit the Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
I'll be rounding up my series for this month, titled what? Everybody say Star Witness. Star Witness. I'm preaching it, but it's been very inspiring to me. You know, just reminding me again of telling my story and reaching out to people. And I've been hearing from people. I've been experiencing it. And I've been hearing from people too. And I really want to recognize somebody that did something that touched me regarding this series just this past week. You know, just, you know, to recognize a star witness. During the Bible Master class on Wednesday, somebody walked into church that had not been in church for 39 years. He said, I left church 39 years ago, 1978. And the person came to church, was part of the Bible Master class, was contributing. I want to appreciate Maya. Everybody, let's appreciate Maya. She shared her story, and the person, she's been sharing the Bible Masterclass series, you know, just sharing it. She's been diligent. She'll go share it. And then this person said, the guy said, I want to know what happened to Abraham next. What's going down with Abraham? What's the next thing that happened to Abraham? So I really, really want to appreciate her. So I've been hearing different stories, but you know, I believe I'll be mentioning them as we move on, even in the fall. Amen. Praise God. So basically what we've been focusing on is Jesus' command in Matthew 28 from verse 18. Please, Matthew 28 from verse 18, Jesus told us that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel or disciple. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Next verse. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, people groups, nations, divisions of people, and then baptize them. We had our baptism last Sunday. It was awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. It was such an awesome thing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And of course, more baptisms are coming up. He said, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure that I'm with you even until the end of the ages. You know, I said something about this and I'm going to repeat it. That if you want to get into the bread and butter, the honey of Christianity, you start sharing the gospel. The greatest experiences that I've had being a Christian for about 3 decades now have come from times that I stepped out of my comfort zone, went somewhere, or spent time talking to somebody about my faith. Those have been the most amazing times. All kinds of amazing stories of Jesus Christ being with you. Amen. So if you want to see the miracles of Jesus, you want to see the presence of Jesus, those things don't happen when you are sitting down. They happen when you are going. Everybody say, when I'm going. And you are sharing. So you finish sometimes and you'll be like, wow, did I do that? You know, you didn't do it. Did I do that? You just count the privilege to be involved in such mighty, mighty things. And you look at yourself and say, there's no way I could have done that by myself. So I want to call you all into this exciting life. That's the purpose of this series this month. Just come into this exciting life of constantly sharing your faith. And I've been teaching you different ways you can do it. It's as simple as telling your own story of how Jesus has transformed your life. That's your most powerful message. Just use it and tell the story. You know, I've been seeing people post things online and I always like it. I love it. They post pictures of their families, post pictures of this, and they put only because of Jesus. That's a simple way, you know, to communicate what God has done in your life. So let's keep on practicing it. Keep on practicing it. And last week I talked about the power of showing kindness. Kindness gives you the right to be able to speak to people. Amen. It gives you the right to speak. It opens up their hearts. So today I want to round up by talking about what I titled the five-star witness. Everybody say the five-star witness. Say five-star. So you know when you want to rent hotels or, you know, book hotels or stay in a hotel, you check what star is this hotel. Is it a two-star? Is it a one-star? Is it a three-star? Is it a five-star? It's a five-star hotel. So five-star hotels, you see everything there is just, you know, awesome. I think they have six stars now, you know, awesome. And of course, the price is expensive. So they use stars. And of course, when you drive Uber or Lyft or any one of those, or you enter Uber or Lyft, you will rate the driver, or the driver will rate you, and they will rate you whether you are a five-star rider or you're a two-star or a three-star. So I mean five-star witness with that analogy. So the five-star witness is the excellent witness. Somebody that has, you know, just in the process of witnessing, starting with their individual lives, like in their doing it alone, they've graduated to another level where they mobilize other people to be witnesses, or they work in teams, they build teams, and they mobilize other people to be witnesses. So it's a continuum. So you start by telling your story alone, solo, like a solo operator. Amen. You start there and you start sharing it. And then as you begin to do that, what usually happens is that God begins to form a team around you. And when you begin to work with a team, with a group and all that, you're able to work, you begin to graduate in being a witness. I remember how when I was first ever called a pastor, I was just, I was just preaching. It was people that called me. So I made a vow to God then, for that year, that I was going to speak to at least one person every day. That was in the year 1992, that I was going to speak to one person every day about Christ. So in my area then, I began to go out every day. I would speak to someone. And then I just discovered that as I was speaking, people were getting saved. I was speaking to basically youth that were just leaving high school like me or in the latter part of high school. And so people were getting saved. And after a while, the number of people getting saved were multiplying. They were just increasing. And usually when they get saved, they will come back. You know, people, there's no phone, nothing like that. I didn't have any access to phone or anything. So it was all personal contact. They want to come to meet you to be counseled about something. Oh, this is happening. Or they're being persecuted, because there was a lot of persecution then, when you got saved. And so they will come, and it became like people were just coming to me constantly at school. People were coming to me constantly at home. So my house doors opening, people coming. I was like, wow, this is a lot. So I decided to talk to one guy. So one guy and I began to do it together. And then after a while, you know, we decided that let's just create a day. Let's create just one day that we're going to tell everybody that wants to come and see us, you know, that wants to come for counsel to come, that they will come on Fridays. That was the beginning of me doing something in a group to teach people. It was just organized out of convenience. So then when I began to do that, somebody who was living, a tenant in our house then, started calling me Pastor. Started saying, Pastor Larry, Pastor Larry. That was that was the first time I was ever called Pastor. And it came not because there was anything. It just came because I was preaching and I needed to counsel people. So formed into a group. And since that time, the main course of my life has been to form groups that preach the gospel, or to assist in starting groups that preach the gospel in different places. So since that 1992, there has never been a time in my life that I have not been involved in starting or building or assisting in groups that advance the cause of the gospel. Amen. And I believe that there are people in this place that God also wants to move to that level where you form groups, start groups that preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So the five-star witness, according to me, is the person who has moved. Not the person is sharing personally, but the person has also advanced to enjoy the following five advantages in their soul winning. Amen. The following five advantages in their soul winning. So let's go. Number one. This person is part of a group of like-minded people that sharpen plans with, complements, and helps her or him to be a better witness. So the five-star witness, number one, is part of a group of like-minded people that sharpens plans with, complements, and helps him or him to do a better, to be a better witness. So this person, you know, just, it might be a group of just two people or three people, and you're working together and planning together and plotting together. You begin to graduate into the next level than the solo operations. Amen. Everybody say plan together, compliment, and help. Hallelujah. I'm excited. So I was able to put these 5 points together by studying the lives of some star witnesses in the Bible, like Paul, like Peter, and so on. So we're going to be reading some things very fast about these people and how they practice this. So let's read our first verse today. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 5. Acts 18 for verse 1 to 5. It said, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. I mean, if you know a star witness, you know, you are talking about Paul, he's a star witness. There he became acquainted. Everybody say he became acquainted. With a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife, Priscilla. So, Paul moves to a new land. And of course, Paul is a missionary. He's going to preach the gospel. And the first thing he did was, he became acquainted with some people in the same profession. They have similar interests. Amen. What was the similar interest? It said Paul lived and worked with them. So they were co-workers. Everybody say co-workers. For they were tent makers just as he was. There's a key word there, those key words, just as he was. So for example, some of us, we love sports. So you link up with people who love sports just as you love it. You link up with people who love business just as you love it. You link up with people who love to minister to children just as you do. You link up with people who love to, you know, educate just as you do. You link up with people who love arts just as you do. You link up with people who love, you know, just anything. Any kind of interest can be a common ground for forming gospel groups, good news groups. Any kind of interest can be leveraged into forming, you know, good news groups. This was a company of tent makers. So Paul leveraged that relationship and used it to enter into the land of what? Corinth. And that's how the Corinthian church started. By a group of tent makers, Paul joining with them, and then using that relationship, going to the synagogues, and, you know, convincing Jews and Gentiles, and then it began to grow and grow. Then later, in our second verse, another guy named Apollos came to Corinth. So let's go to the next verse. And meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught in the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit. and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. He tells you that many times our knowledge is limited. Do you get that? Our knowledge is limited. So this guy was eloquent. This guy was already teaching. So he was knowledgeable, but he was only operating by the level of knowledge that he had. But when he joined that group, when he came in contact with Priscilla and Aquila also, let's read. He said, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside. Everybody say, took him aside. You know, so sometimes we need a group. Do you get it? A group of people that will just take us aside. Amen. Apart from the work of ministry, apart from preaching, we just come aside. And then we begin to discuss. And we begin to sharpen one another and say, no, that thing that you were preaching, there's something wrong with that. There's something lacking in there. You know, you can add this to that. Oh, you know, there's something that you did not know before that you can add to it. Amen. Are you guys following? So took him aside. And look at what they did when they took him aside. Number one, they explained the way of God more accurately to him. So sometimes you need people to explain to you more accurately. It was accurate before. Do you get it? They said he was preaching with accuracy, but they explained it more accurately. So there's accuracy based on what you know, but there's more accurate based on what a group of people adds to you. You guys get that? So we grow in accuracy. Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia and asking them to welcome him. When he arrived there, it proved to be of great benefit to those who, by God's grace, had believed. He refuted the Jews with powerful arguments in public debates using the scriptures. He explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah. So this guy now became better because he was part of a group of people. So you see, Paul, first of all, Paul leveraged a small group of people of similar interest to be able to reach a place, to become a witness in a place. And then this one joined a similar group, became part of a similar group, and they explained the word better so that this person can be a better witness. Amen. Did you guys get that? Now, so that's making you better. Now, let's talk about complementation, because all of us have different gifts and different callings. So there was this great witness, star witness, called Philip. Everybody say Philip. Now, I wanted to say this because we have a food ministry in church right now. After every service, we eat. Amen. And there's a group of people who are in charge of it, you know, called the Food Connections Ministry, if you didn't know. So, I was just thinking about their ministry some days ago, and I was talking with someone, and I said, you know that most of the second set of apostles and disciples that we know in Acts of the Apostles, they came from food ministry? There was a need to distribute food in the church. Because some people were not being given in Acts chapter 6. And so they said, choose 7 men who are full of the Holy Spirit. I usually ask that question. Why do they need to be full of the Holy Spirit to distribute food? I said they were full of faith. And full of what? Because food is what? Food can create all kinds of, you know, issues. He said they had to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Because you are going to have to use faith also. Amen. So they chose these people. One of them was Philip. One of them was Stephen. Philip is the one that became Philip the evangelist. And Stephen was the one that spoke so powerfully that they stoned him. And he was the one that was the seed of the spread of the gospel then. But it started from the food ministry. So that's just to encourage people who are, that's the beginning of what is called the deacon ministry in the church. The servants. Those of you that are handling different things, technical crew, that are food and all that, I want to encourage you that those ministry, the way the ministries in the body of Christ are is the general ministry of the body of Christ, which everybody staffs. And then there are some special ministries in the body, which as you grow in it, God makes it specialized. And there's the ministry of Jesus as the head. Those are the three types of ministry that are within the church. Many people are still in the general ministry, but they want to move into special ministry. No, it doesn't work that way. You are faithful in the general ministry, and then you move into the special ministries. Amen? That's the way it always works. So I want to encourage you all to be faithful, whether you are serving food or serving tables or arranging chairs or ushering. Amen? Be faithful with it. So Philip went to Samaria, verse 5, and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs that he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks impure spirit came out of many, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So this man brought great joy to a city. But look at that. He preached the gospel. But now, the complementation was by another team. They said, verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. They sent Peter. Everybody say they sent Peter and John. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. I always ask, why not come? Philip didn't pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. You were the one that went there, you got them saved and all that. How come you didn't pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Because, you see, when you pray for individuals to receive the Holy Spirit, any believer can do that. But when you're talking about a mass, it takes a special gift of the Holy Spirit to do that. And those people came to complement what Philip had already done. So some of you, you go there, you understand, there's a place that God has placed you to share the gospel, but you need some other people to come along with different gifts apart from yours to make it more effective. Sometimes you need people who can organize. Sometimes you need people who can raise the money. Sometimes you need people, you know, who can, you know, pray and fill with the Spirit. Some of you are able to set up secular things, but you need people that will give, that will come and bring spiritual life into it. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's one of the powers of a group. So the group of like-minded people will sharpen you. They will plan with you. They will complement you, and they will help you to be a better witness. Hallelujah. Number two, the five-star witness is part of a group that sends and ventures into new territories together with her or him. The five-star witness is a part of a group that sends and ventures into new territories together with her or what? Or him. You know, it's very tough for you to just say, I want to go to Inglewood and start an outreach to disenfranchised youth. It's tough. If you have done it before, you know how tough it is. Those who say it's not tough is because they've never done it before. When you've started anything that is sustained, you know it's tough. Amen. It takes some things, you know, to start things and sustain it. People can start things and do it for a few, you know, maybe do it for a few days, a few weeks, or a few months and stop. You know, but if it's going to be sustained and continue to breathe life and so on, it's a tough thing to do. Amen? It's a tough thing for you to just say, I'm going to start an outreach to medical doctors. Medical doctors in my place of work. Or I want to start something on the west side. I want to start something downtown. Amen? For professionals during lunch hour. Okay? Or I want to reach out to fellow IT people. Those things are easily said, but they require some tough decisions. They require some sacrifices. They're tough. But one of the ways that God mitigates this issue of toughness is by making sure you do it with a group of people. Do you get that? You do it with what? A group of people. Now, I have always wondered, why did Jesus never send anybody alone? Let's look at some scriptures. Number one, verse 6-7. First of all, the 12. He said, he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out. How? Two by two. Why didn't he say, you alone go? Peter, you are strong, go. He sent them two by two. Okay, then later, next one, the 70. So after sending the 12, then he calls the 70. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to the towns and places he planned to visit. I say, okay, this is becoming a pattern. This is becoming a pattern. When you start seeing things being repeated, it's a pattern. That means there's a lesson in there. He sent them two by what? By two. And then we get into the age of the church in the Acts of the Apostles. We see in the church in Antioch, Acts chapter 13, they said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted,
The Holy Spirit said, now separate me, not Barnabas alone, not Saul alone, but Barnabas and what? And Saul. For the work which I have called them. Next verse. For the work which I, he said, the work which I called them, not the work which I called him, but what? Them. A group of people called to do something. Then having fasted and prayed, because you got to fast and pray for you to do such a thing. This is not just something that anybody can just stand. You will be stopped. Because when you want to plant anything that has to do with the propagation of the gospel, you have the enemy of our soul. The enemy all arrayed against you. They laid hands on them. So they laid hands on them. They. There was a day that laid hands on them and sent them away. So there was a community of people that prayed for them and covered them and sent them away. So they're being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Look at that. It was the Holy Spirit who called them. It was the Holy Spirit that told people to pray for them. And then they said it was the Holy Spirit that sent them, even though it was people that sent them. It tells you how God works by speaking and by walking alongside his body. Amen? To get things done. They arrived in Salamis. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. So they also had an assistant working with them. So you have a missionary group of what? Three people. They were venturing into new territories. So the same thing that Jesus did. And later you see things like Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, and so on. It seemed God always sends people in pairs. Whenever God gives you a calling, there's a company of people. You know, the verse, you know, the text verse that we had at the top, you know, in Psalm 68 verse 12 says, the Lord gave the word and great was the company or the army of those who published it. So God sends people in groups to share the message of the gospel. Do you guys get that? So be part of a group of people that helps you to break into new territory. So plan together. So how do we do it? And people come together. And when you're tired, as you will see, they will strengthen you. There's a way that when people come together, whatever we agree on on earth is done for us by Father in heaven. Number three, the five-star witness is part of a group that prays for him. The five-star witness is part of a group that prays for and with her or him. Amen. So, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 about Paul and Silas. No, sorry, about Peter and John. Let's read together. It said, when they were released, they went to their friends. They went to what? Their friends. They had just finished preaching the gospel. They were persecuted. They were beaten and all that. They went to their friends and reported. They went to their friends. They went to their group. Amen? They went to their group. So, part of what a group would do to you, part of what a group will do to you is that the group will allow you, a group of people that love the Lord like you, have similar interests, working with them, will give you people that will stand with you to pray with you when you are doing the work of witnessing. And we all need prayers. You know, I covet everybody's prayers. I request prayers. I request prayers because we all need covering. Because focus is blind. When I'm focusing on something, usually I am not focused on something else. Do you get it? When you are focused on something, Satan can be coming from another dimension and somebody can help you stop it. Amen? Do you get that? So that's why we need people that cover us. And that's why one of the greatest star witnesses that ever lived, Paul, look at that, pray also for me. Paul always asked for prayers. Next verse. He said, pray also for me. That whenever I open my mouth, next verse. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, divine utterance may be given me. Go back to my notes, Ephesians 6:19. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, divine utterance may be given to me. So that I may boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. And then in the next one, he said, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of God may spread quickly. So people praying for you will help you to have speed and be held in honor. in honors, just as it was with you, so that the word will spread quickly. Also, prayer helps you as a minister, as a star witness, to be able to live an honorable life. Everybody say honorable life. He said, pray for us. We're convinced that we have a clear conscience and we desire to live honorably in what? In every way. So when people pray for you, they help you as a minister to stand when you are tempted. You know, you are able to stand. You know, because you have some people praying for you. When you are weak, you're strong. Sometimes I'm on a missionary journey and I'll just feel something come on me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. It's like something just rushes through me like that. And I just tell myself, I say, somebody is praying for me somewhere. And then I just become empowered. I become stronger. And then I go forward and do, you know, to do more, to witness the gospel. We need a group of people like that. A small group of people, you know, that pray for you constantly. Finally, the five-star witness. No, not finally, number four. The five-star witness is part of a group that shares sufferings, stands and bleeds with her or him in low moments until freedom comes. The five-star witness is part of a group of people that shares suffering. They stand with you. When you are sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you go through some tough times. But you need a group of people that will stand. And sometimes they will bleed with you. While your back is bleeding, they will bleed with you. You are able to share your hearts together. Do you get that? You're able to talk about your weaknesses. You're able to talk until freedom comes. You're able to find freedom while you are making a difference. Because you have a group of people that you can bear your heart with. So, I have groups of people like that. I have an accountability group of men that not a lot of us, just a few of us, three of us, one of them, it's three of us. And whenever we get together, we talk, we cry together, we share things, we bear our hearts together, our insecurities, our fears, and we pray for one another. Amen? We pray for one another. And then many times when I'm with that group, by the time I'm done with them, I'm stronger. I feel stronger. I feel, you know, things that I cannot share with other individuals, I'm able to share with them. And then I become lighter. I become less burdened. Amen. So we need groups like that. We need groups like that we can share our hearts with without fear of censor, without fear, you know, that, you know, they're going to judge us. Amen. So we need small groups like that. So star witnesses are part of such groups. Amen. Look at the example of Paul and Silas. They were put in prison. In the verse, next verse, they were put in prison. And then the Bible says that while they were in prison and their backs were bleeding, look at that, verse 23 says they inflicted blows, many blows on them. They were flogged. They were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. But look at what they did in verse 25. So these two guys were preaching the gospel and then they were in the prison. In pain. And while they were there, they said, Paul and Silas, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And every bonds was unfastened. So freedom came because two people who were suffering together, bleeding together, began to encourage one another and began to praise God. That's what a group of people will do for you. A small group of like-minded people that you pray with and talk with. That's what it will do for you. You can cry together. You can pray together. And finally, the five-star witness is part of a group that celebrates wins in life and witnessing with them. So the five-star witness, they celebrate what? It's part of a group that celebrates. How many of you know that you can't celebrate alone? Oh, you can celebrate alone, but it's not the best, right? You say, I'm celebrating my birthday, and you are alone in the house. Nobody knows about it. And you're, hey, today's my birthday party.
Now, I encourage you to do that. Amen. If there's nobody, take yourself out to the restaurant. Nobody wants to take you out. Do whatever. Do that. But you know that's not the way life was meant to be, right? You need people to come celebrate your birthday with you. You want people to wish you happy birthday. You want somebody to bring a cake. Right? You want people to celebrate wins. When you get a promotion, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to call somebody to share it with, right? So you need people to share. Also, when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, whenever we have a home run, whenever we win, whenever we win souls to Christ, you want people to celebrate with you the victories. It's part of how you reinforce yourself for more victories. Amen. So we need people like that. So a small group of people that you are part of will help you to develop, to have those kind of people that you say, you know what? You may not be able to tell a big group, but you can tell that small group and just say, you know what? This just happened at work. You know, this, as I was doing this and I was doing that, you know, this happened and everybody can rejoice. Let's read the scripture for that. The Bible says in Luke 10, verse 17, that when the 72 disciples that Jesus sent, when they returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. They were excited. They were waiting to tell Jesus that. I said, in Jesus' name. And the demon left. They couldn't hold it to themselves. And Jesus rejoiced with them. He told them, yeah, great. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And he said, you know, but don't rejoice about this alone. Rejoice because your name are also written in heaven. Amen. So they say joy. Soul winning brings joy. Soul winning brings joy to the person that receives Jesus. It brings joy to heaven because heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. It brings joy to the soul winner. And it also brings joy to the company, the group that the soul winner is in. So we need people to celebrate soul winning with. To share that. You know, I did that and all that. Look at this. In Acts 15, verse 3, the ESV, first of all, says, then Saul sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. And as they were Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. And as they were going through Samaria, they told the whole story of how non-Jewish people were turning to God. They were talking about soul winning stories. They said, this story brought great joy to all the believers. Everybody began to rejoice. Ah, this is what is going on. I love the Message translation. It says, after they were sent off and on their way, they told everyone that they had met as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria about the breakthrough to the non-Jewish outsiders. Everyone who heard the news cheered. It was terrific news. Amen. So it's terrific news to hear that people are getting saved.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.